Good morning, everyone. I haven't actually preached from the stage for a while. I'm used to just having Paul behind a camera in a quiet, dark room. And it's so weird, actually, to see you all, but lovely to see your faces. But you know what the danger is? I can also see when you fall off to sleep. So I'm watching, everyone. I want you to take a moment. You can close your eyes if you want to. But I want you to take a moment, and I want you to think of someone that you know that you would describe as being full of the Spirit. Someone who you would consider to be a godly person. What sort of qualities does this person have? How do they live? How do they treat other people? How do they show what being full of the Spirit looks like? What is it that makes you think of them? Maybe it's someone who you've seen love someone else, even when they didn't deserve it. Maybe it's someone who is always full of this deep joy, no matter how hard their life circumstances are. Maybe it's someone whose life exudes this peace, no matter whether life around them is chaotic and stressful. Maybe it's someone who's patient with you, even when others could be frazzled. Maybe it's someone who's kind to you, even when you've treated them really badly. Maybe it's someone who is just so good to others, even when no one else is watching. Maybe it's someone who's faithful, even when it's hard to be that, or who is gentle when they could easily be harsh and lash out. Maybe it's someone who shows you how to live a controlled life, one that doesn't fly off the handle or pander to everything that everyone else is doing. Someone who is a godly person, someone who exudes God's presence when you're with them. That sort of person stands out, doesn't it? It comes to your mind immediately, the person that you're thinking of. Now, if you were in the early church and had to think of someone who was full of the Spirit, you would immediately think of this man. His name is Stephen. And I'm going to introduce you to him today. Maybe you already know something about him. Maybe you know absolutely nothing. But we want to find out some things about Stephen today. Like, who was he? Was he one of the disciples? Was he a fisherman? Was he friends with Jesus? What is Stephen's story? What makes him a person that people would describe as being full of the Spirit? Someone who stood out. Well, let me give you a little bit of a snapshot as to how he comes into the picture. So after Jesus had died and risen again, he sent the Holy Spirit to the disciples gathered for Pentecost. And they were filled with power. They had the ability to speak in different languages so that people in Jerusalem who had gathered there for Pentecost from all these different places could hear the good news of Jesus in their own language. Peter, one of the disciples who had been with Jesus during his time on earth, steps up as leader and with great boldness preaches to all that were present and preached them about Jesus, the one who was crucified, was that he was indeed the Son of God, and he called them to repent and believe. And we see thousands of people being added to their number. Then we see miracles being done. Particularly, we read about the lame man who had been lame for like 40 years, but through God's power was able to walk, and he brought more opportunities for people to hear about Jesus and join the church. We also saw that great persecution happened to the people of this early church. Leaders were flogged and were put into prison as the Jewish leaders got very nervous about what was going on. But we see the church, this group of people from different places, different backgrounds, and different language groups all come together and share everything that they had and live with great unity and with great boldness share the good news of Jesus. And so the church grew. This growth didn't come without problems. They had to learn that God was serious about honesty, about integrity of those who follow him. And the dishonesty and deception of Ananias and Sapphira really shook them up. They recognized that God was serious about how he wanted them to represent him in the world. And it wasn't without conflict. As we saw last week, Roger showed us with great wisdom the apostles dealt with the conflict in the early church. They chose seven men who were full of the Spirit and wisdom to take on the task of caring for the widows. And this is where we are introduced to Stephen. In fact, when these people had to think of who they would choose, he was first on the list. He was a guy who stood out, the one who people noticed and recognized for all the right reasons. He was like that person that you had pictured in your mind. He was a godly man, full of the Spirit and of wisdom. So when people described Stephen in the book of Acts, they used five phrases that describe the inner qualities of who he was. And whenever he was described, it was always as being full of these five things. He was not described as having a little bit of something or a touch of something, but he was described as having these things to the full. Imagine someone like that, not someone with a little bit, but full of these qualities. You know, in 3 months' time, we're going to be celebrating Christmas. I hate to bring that to you, but I don't know about you, but Christmas dinner is always one of those meals that you have, that where you eat just way too much, and then you have to go and lie down on the couch because you are so full. Maybe you have to undo a button in your pants, but you are so full, you can't fit anything in. Well, maybe unless there's a second serve of dessert. But Stephen was described as being full, not of food, but of these other things. In Acts 6 and 3, it says, "Brothers and sisters, choose seven men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom." So firstly, Stephen was described as someone who was full of the Spirit. When we believe and put our faith and trust in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we are given the gift of God's Spirit. The Spirit of God is with us and in us. Trevor Hudson, one of my favorite authors at the moment, describes him this way. Jesus gave the Holy Spirit the title, Another Counselor. In Greek, this title implies that the Holy Spirit would be for us in the present what Jesus had been for his disciples during his life on earth. Thus, the Holy Spirit would be our friend, our leader and guide, just like Jesus had been for those who knew him in Galilee. When God gives us his Spirit, he gives us nothing less than himself. God with you right now. The Holy Spirit does things like bring us alive to the presence of God. He draws us deeper into a shared life. He changes us inwardly. He guides us in our decision making. He helps us to pray. He empowers us to boldly witness for him. How amazing is that? Stephen's life showed that he was full of the Spirit, full of the presence of God. Do you know what it's like to be around someone like that? You feel loved. You feel seen. You feel heard. They treat you like you imagine Jesus would treat you. Now, if we who believe are supposed to have this same spirit, how come my life and maybe your life wouldn't always be described as being full of the Spirit? Well, the Bible also talks about being filled with the Spirit. In Ephesians 5:18, Paul says to be filled with the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Being filled with God's Spirit means that you are continually allowing the Holy Spirit to have access to all of you, especially the parts of you that don't look too much like God, and letting him shape and transform you into someone who looks more like Jesus. So someone who lives their life relying on God's Spirit within them day after day. So it's not just that Stephen had this one-time Holy Spirit experience at Pentecost. He continued a daily walk under the control of the Holy Spirit. And that had continued for a long enough time in Stephen that other people noticed something about him. His life produced the evidence of God's Spirit in him. His life showed what the Bible refers to as the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When someone is full of the Spirit, their life shows the evidence of being with Jesus and becoming like him. In fact, they are filled to the fullness of the Spirit. They are starting to look like Jesus. We see this in Stephen. Caring for the widows, you may think, is not a job that needs someone with such a high qualification. I mean, couldn't anyone do that? But it was more than just a task. The apostles were particularly looking for people who were filled with God's Spirit, people who would bring God's presence into the situation where there was division and where there was conflict, people who would bring love and joy and peace and kindness, all of these qualities to negotiate with people, to show care and compassion, to relieve anxiety and bring order and justice back into the church. Stephen was one of these people. He was filled with the Spirit of God, and it was evident from the way he lived and from the way he treated others. We too can be filled with the Spirit, allowing God to daily fill us, allowing him to shape us into looking more and more like Jesus. More loving, more joyful, more peaceful. So that when I say, think of someone who is full of the Spirit, it will be you that people will think of. Stephen was also described as, secondly, as being full of wisdom. Now, sometimes we think that a wise person is someone who is learned, who is educated, who knows a lot of stuff. But wisdom is more than just knowledge. The word wisdom in the New Testament actually comes from a Greek word, sophia, meaning skill. It's different from knowledge. Wisdom is the skill and ability to make the right choices at the opportune moment. When they chose Stephen, they were choosing someone who they knew was wise in his decisions and dealings with people. He was someone who could be relied upon to make fair and good choices for those in his care. It wasn't someone who knew a lot of stuff, although, as we will see, Stephen had been taught the scriptures and knew the law well, but he was wise in the way he dealt with people. But Stephen didn't just stay in this role of caring for widows. The next we read of him is in Acts 6, verse 8. It says this: "Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed great wonders and signs among the people. Opposition arose, however, from the members of the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, Jews of Cyrene and Alexandria, as well as the province of Sicilia and Asia, who began to argue with Stephen. But they could not stand up against the wisdom the Spirit gave him as he spoke." So we now see Stephen performing signs and wonders, being noticed by those in the synagogue who argued with him. But God gave Stephen the gift of wisdom so that these men could not stand up against him and what he had to say. He not only had knowledge about God and the law, but he showed wisdom in how he explained that. Stephen was a man full of the Spirit and of wisdom. And it seems that so far, life was going well. He was someone that people noticed. But life doesn't always go well, does it? That's not realistic. There are times when life gets hard, when it's unfair. It's easy to be full of the Spirit and wisdom when life is going well. But what happens when the pressure rises? What happens when things go differently to how you think they should? We read in verse 11 that the Jewish leaders were not happy with Stephen. In verse 11 it says, "Then they secretly persuaded some men to say, 'We've heard Stephen speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God.'" In verse 12 it says, "So they stirred up the people and the elders and the teachers of the law. They seized Stephen and brought him before the Sanhedrin. They produced false witnesses who testified, 'This fellow never stopped speaking against this holy place and against the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs Moses handed down to us.'" These Jews were doing everything they could to make Stephen look bad. They had false witnesses who were stirring up the crowd against him. Stephen was being accused of things that he did not say. He was being stabbed in the back. He was being treated unjustly and unfairly. How would you react in this situation? How would you react if people were accusing you of something that you didn't do? Would you jump up and down? Would you shout to the world about how unfair this was? Would you take it to a current affair? Would you feel frustrated, upset, angry? Well, how did Stephen react? Verse 15 said, "All who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen." That's interesting, isn't it? They were clearly waiting to see his reaction. "And they saw that his face was like the face of an angel." What? He was being falsely accused. False witnesses were saying untrue and unjust things about him. And yet, he wasn't upset or frazzled or unsure or wavering. He had the face of an angel. What does that mean? Well, he was totally at peace. He had complete trust and faith in God. And in fact, this was the third way that people described him in Acts 6, as someone who was full of faith. Stephen was completely at peace. His faith did not waver, even though he was treated unjustly. And his face looked like the face of an angel. What was in his soul showed on his face. It was just like how the face of Moses shone when he came down from the mountain after he'd been in the presence of God. It was the best proof that he had not spoken blasphemy against either Moses or God. What he had said was truth, and Stephen had complete faith in God, even in such a highly stressful and volatile situation. When the high priest asked if these charges were true, Stephen started to preach with great boldness. And I won't read it all to you today because it goes for like 53 verses. He really got going. But I encourage you to read it. To summarize it though, and to give you a snapshot, we see that Stephen had faith in a sovereign God who called Abraham out of a pagan country and through his covenant dealings with Abraham and his descendants, brought Jesus, the righteous one, to save his people in spite of their history of rebellion. Stephen had full faith that God is sovereign. You can only be full of faith if you believe in a sovereign God who uses even the wicked deeds of people to accomplish his eternal purposes. Stephen knew that no matter what happened, good or bad, God was working it all into his plan. He realized that these men against him were not in control. They had no idea of the eternal story that they were a part of. And God could use even their evil and turn it into good, as we will see next week. When we join Stephen in understanding how God is sovereignly working in all the details of our lives, nothing is wasted, good and bad. We too will be full of faith. You know, I have the privilege of journeying with a lot of people who face lots of hard things in life. For all of us, at some time or another, we will have some difficult things to deal with. And if you haven't already faced tough times, I assure you they will come. Things that are challenging, things that are traumatic, things that are totally out of your control. And where you are faced with this moment of, can I trust God even in this? Does he know what he's doing? These moments come to us all the time in big and small ways, and we have a choice to make. Stephen didn't even waver in his faith. He knew the answer was yes, God could use even this. What about you? Has God called you to step out and step up in faith? Was there a time when, even though you didn't understand the circumstances, when it seemed all bad, that God called you to trust him in it? I know I've had to do that in my life on many occasions, but particularly when my life fell apart, when my marriage broke up, I had to say that question. Did I believe that God was sovereign and he could work all things for good, even when I could not make sense of the circumstances? Could I have faith in him despite my life not going in the direction that I wanted? And I had to settle that within my heart, that yes, I did. The answer was yes then, and it's still yes. He is a sovereign God, and he is a faithful God, one that you can have full faith in, just like Stephen, no matter what the circumstances are that you find yourself in. Stephen's Jewish opponents, well, they boasted in their observance of the law. Although, as we will see, they were blind to their own violation of it. But Stephen knew that salvation in Jesus did not come by following the law or by doing good things to work up credit with God. But rather, it is given as a gift by the undeserved favor of God, shown to us while we were still sinners. A person who understands and lives God's grace as seen in the cross also becomes a person who shows grace to others. An inward experience of grace flows outward into a gracious spirit towards others. And this is the fourth thing that Stephen was described as being, someone who was full of grace, which means that he was a gracious man. He didn't get upset as they raised up false witnesses against him, but we see him patiently explaining to them of their history and how in the past their ancestors had refused to listen to the prophets that God had sent. He explained to them that God had sent Jesus and he was the fulfillment of the law. He was the one that they had been waiting for. Yet just like their ancestors, the one that they had refused to listen to and who they had killed on a cross. In verse 54, he says, when the members of the Sanhedrin heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God. And Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. At this point, Stephen could see into heaven, claiming this Jesus to be standing at the right hand of God. You know, some commentators say Jesus standing, because normally he's talked about sitting. Jesus standing was a picture of him welcoming Stephen home. But the Jewish leaders, they did not react well at this. Verse 57, it says, at this they covered their ears and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. Verse 59, while they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Stephen was filled with grace, even to the point where he did not curse his persecutors as they were throwing stones at him to crush his body, but rather he blessed them. Could you imagine what that would feel like to be stoned to death, to have rock and stone after stone pounded on your body, the pain, the agony that you would be in? And yet at that point, Stephen pleaded with God to not hold this sin against them. He understood the grace that had been given to him, and he passed that on to others. Well, I don't know about you, but I don't think I would be that gracious. At that point, could I bless someone else? Could I offer forgiveness even when it wasn't deserved? Stephen offered forgiveness just like Jesus had as he was dying on the cross. Is there someone that you are reserving your forgiveness from? You think that they don't deserve it. We have all been forgiven way more than we could ever give to others. When you understand the grace that you have been given, it is much easier to forgive other people. If God has prompted you today, ask him for his strength to follow through. The last thing that Stephen was described as being was full of power. Stephen started serving the widows, but then we see Stephen was given power to perform great wonders and signs that pointed people to Jesus. His power came from God. God's power was also evident in what he was doing in Stephen's life. In one of our reservoir readings a couple of weeks ago, it said this: God is concerned about the kind of people we are becoming through the power of the Spirit. The power of the Spirit is given to us to transform wickedness into goodness, cruelty into kindness, self-indulgence into self-control, hatred into love. This is God's power at work to transform us into the image of Christ Jesus, who was full of grace and truth. God's power was so evident in Stephen's life, especially as he endured these trials. His power came from the Spirit to not only boldly speak out for Jesus, but to also face his death. You know, if you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and you've put your faith and trust in him, then you and I have this same Spirit that Stephen had within us. This Spirit that gives us power. We don't need to live our life just relying on ourselves. We too can be like Stephen. He was all in. He realized that he was saved by grace and that God had given him the gift of this Holy Spirit. He allowed himself to continually be filled with his Spirit and walk in his Spirit and allow God to do his transforming work in his life. And we can do the same. Maybe it's time for you to get moving, to start on this daily life walk with God. Do you know that a plane racing down the runway uses more fuel than a plane parked in the hangar? That's like our life. When we're content to remain with our experience of God as it is, we park our faith in the hangar. But when we allow God to fill us with the Holy Spirit and wholeheartedly open up our lives to God, then his Spirit empowers us to take off. He begins to transform us and empowers us to do the things that we couldn't do on our own. Have you parked your faith in the hangar? There is a daily filling that needs to occur, a choice and intention on your part to place yourself in a position to allow God's Spirit to deeply change you and to do his work of leading and guiding and convicting and shaping us to be more like Christ. Maybe that's you today. Maybe that's something that you need to change right now. And if that's you, would you do that today? I'm going to pray, and you can pray along just in the quietness of your heart. Let's bow our heads. You can say this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I realize that I have parked my faith in the hangar. I've been coasting in my faith. I'm sorry, Lord, I want to be all in. I want to cooperate with you and allow you to have full access to my life. Lord, continue to fill me with your Spirit and change me to be more like you every day. Amen. Perhaps you've not yet placed your faith in Jesus. You hear of people like Stephen and you think, oh, if only I could have his faith, his power. Well, you can. Let me show you how you can do that today. In John 3:16, it says, "For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." You can put your faith in God today as you believe in Jesus. He came to take on your sin and shame, nailing it to the cross and dying in your place. And then he rose victoriously and he offers you life everlasting. He gives you his Spirit, God with you every moment of every day. If God is speaking to you today, will you pray this prayer with me just in the quietness of your heart as every head is bowed and eyes closed? Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed either of those prayers today and you are here in church, please tell someone about it. I would love to chat to you after the service. And there'll be someone down the front here for prayer. If you're watching online and you prayed either of those prayers, please go to our website, whitehill.church/online. And there you'll find a blue button that says, "I made a decision." Would you fill that out? Because we would love to get in touch with you and give you a Bible and some resources to help you in your journey. Let's just close in prayer today. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you that your presence is with us. Lord, that we can have your Spirit, God, with us in each and every moment of our day. It's incredible to think of, Lord. I just pray that as you work in our hearts and lives, as we daily submit to you, and as we daily offer every part of our life to you, Lord, that you will transform us into looking more and more like you, Lord, that we will be known as people who are full of your Spirit, who are full of wisdom, who are full of faith and grace and power, Lord, that people, when they're trying to think of someone like that, that they would think of us. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.